20 years ago, I was a waif and a stray, and your rector had pity on me. And I was grateful to him then, and I'm extremely grateful to him now. I don't think 20 years ago that either of us would have imagined that we both end up in this great city, but God is a God of surprises, and here we are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm waiting for a phone call from the Pope. And in this phone call that I'm anticipating, he's going to call me and say, "Father Clark, I think you're doing such a great job that I'm going to appoint you as the prefect for the Dicastery for Promoting Christian Unity." And my first act will be to choose a new motto. I'm not even sure if the DCPU has one already, but it should. And since a motto is part of heraldry, you guessed it, there are lots of rules, so we need to proceed with caution. I'm sure my brothers and sisters of the clergy could offer some helpful suggestions, but I may not be able to repeat them here. Best to stick to scripture. Unfortunately, our second lesson tonight provides the perfect text from the Lord's own lips, ti pros se. What's it to you? Let us understand one thing very clearly. It is a rebuke, and it was issued to Peter just moments after the Lord gave him pastoral charge over the flock. The same Peter whose confession of faith at Caesarea Philippi remains a point of unity for all Christians. This same man is rebuked at the very moment his eyes are not fixed upon his relationship with Christ, but upon someone else's relationship with Christ. It's important to observe two things about this. First, we only know anything of this story because Peter himself was content for it to be shared. It was a private conversation, but the author of record is the someone else that Peter was inquiring about, namely John, the beloved disciple, who was clearly anxious to correct the rumor that the Lord said he would never die. Even though it isn't a flattering portrayal of Peter, it's an important one, because it teaches us the futility of comparing our relationship with Christ's to another. We must also take heed of the fact that Peter's temptation occurs after he has turned around. The text in Greek is very clear. Peter, having turned around, or turning about, as we heard it proclaimed, sees John and switches his attention from the Lord onto the disciple the Lord loves. So we are particularly susceptible to this temptation to comparison after we have turned to Christ. And therein, we see the first seeds of disunity that the evil one wishes to sow amongst the brethren. Instead of a vertical relationship with the Lord, Peter looks to the horizontal. "What about him, Lord?" he asks. In this week of prayer for Christian unity, which begins today, it's worth pausing to reflect on how far we have come in this journey. Polemic between Christians tends to be reserved, God forgive us, these days, for social media and not official channels. But there is still so much more to do. So let me offer three areas for further reflection. The first is this: to insist upon the vertical dimension with Christ and not the horizontal. Fix our eyes upon him and him alone. So when we quibble to the Lord about our brothers and sisters, whether within or without our own churches, let us hear him say, ti pros se, what is it to you? So what if their pathway is different from yours? Instead, follow me. The second is to recognize that things that are important to us are often emotional too. But emotion is not the best barometer of progress. A good example of this concerns Holy Communion itself. Whenever I attend the Divine Liturgy in an Eastern Orthodox church, I am not invited to concelebrate, nor am I invited to receive Holy Communion. There's a sadness in that that's undeniable, and it's certainly emotional. But if I dwell on the externals, I fail to see the high degree of communion I already share with my Orthodox brethren. So when we feel despondent again, let us hear him say, "Ti prosse, what's it to you? Are you not able to offer me a sacrifice of praise all the same? Have you not presented your body as a holy and living sacrifice? Instead, follow me." Thirdly and finally, we need to move from respect for one another's traditions to reverence for one another's traditions. God, you see, desires legitimate diversity. He does not insist that we all worship him in identical ways. Our unity is not expressed with a liturgical cookie cutter, nor a theological one for that matter. And it is through our differences that God can show himself to us in the other. We need only look to the noble tradition of choral excellence for which this church is justly famous, as an example of the gold that God is able to create even out of canonical division. So if someone prays or expresses themselves in a different way to you or to me again, let us hear the dear Lord say, "Ti prosse, what is it to you? Do they not come from Sheba and Seba bearing gifts? Oh, they do. Instead, follow me."